Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Raw Rundown here on Inside the Ropes. Episode number 80, covering the night after the Royal Rumble, the January 29th episode of Monday Night Raw. It was on my birthday, and it's funny because last week we talked about Raw 25, and I didn't have the best impression of it, but David was a big fan of it, and now coming at this Raw, I was a big fan of it, and David wasn't huge on it. So we're back to the roles that you all love us in, which is me being annoyingly positive, and David not being, but I'm here with David J. McCutcheon. Hi, David. How are you?
Yo, dog. I just wanted to say, David J. McCutcheon done got fired. I'm just saying. I'm Booker T. I'm here. I'm the new co-host of the Raw Rundown, dog. And Kenny, you're inside the ropes. Live tours are in my fave five, dog.
I mean, I've only got two things to respond. Number one, that's racist. And number two, I quit. That's my two messages response to that. It's funny, I had a lot of people over to my house for the Royal Rumble, had a great time, and Finn Martin was there, and Finn left a couple of his beers, his San Miguel beers, so I'm going to drink one of them. Hang on a second. Because there is a celebration to be had, ladies and gentlemen, because not only, ladies and gentlemen, because we are bringing the one and only Paul Heyman. He's in New Orleans for WrestleMania, but before that, WrestleMania weekend is going to kick off with Inside the Ropes. This is something I've been working on for 9 months. One of the participants in the WrestleMania main event, the Universal Championship match of this year's WrestleMania, 1 mile from the scene of the crime where the streak was broken, Paul Heyman will be live with a live mic, no censors, no network scripts, just completely live mic, and it will be the first meet and greet or signing he has done officially since the days of ECW. But
a couple
of people thought that was an underwhelming announcement to have. So to those people, I would like to just say with some sincerity, probably about 4 out of 10, in that if you think that us managing to get one of the participants in the WrestleMania main event, a current WWE weekly television performer, to kick off WrestleMania with a live show where they don't have any restrictions on them and they can have a live mic and if they can meet them, and people can have their dreams made of getting to meet Paul Heyman, people who they've looked up to for years because there's never been an opportunity to do so on the biggest wrestling weekend of the year. If you think that's underwhelming, you can go fuck yourself as far as I'm concerned, because I do no longer care to communicate with you, because this is not me being pissy about it. I can take people going, come to Birmingham, or whatever. We are coming to Birmingham. I'm doing something with Birmingham later on this year, so don't freak out. But it's like, I can handle all the kind of you didn't come to Lithgow Town Hall with Chris Jericho. I can handle those people just fine. But for somebody to sit there and like this, I have not worked harder on anything than I have to get Paul Heyman and this to happen. It is, and I get that some people might not be able to be there, but if you think that's underwhelming and you don't appreciate that is happening for people in New Orleans who are going to get a chance to see that, then just don't fucking say anything.
Because first live show that Inside the Ropes has ever done outside of the UK, the very first Inside the Ropes show that is done in the United States on the biggest wrestling weekend anywhere in the world of the entire calendar year, with an active WWE performer completely unchained and unscripted and uncensored, with a pipe bomb in his hand, the originator of dropping pipe bombs, Paul Heyman. And these people aren't happy? I'll tell you who's happy, Kenny. David J. McCutcheon is happy, because I will be there live and in person to meet one of my role models in life, Mr. Paulie Dangerously.
I mean, that
and
does.
I'm bringing my 1989 cell phone, Kenny, and I'm going to talk to him with it.
I mean, it's funny to me, you saying that he's your role model really kind of brings him down a couple of pegs, but I appreciate the effort of what you're trying to say. But no, like, I mean, I guess, like, for people who maybe don't know, and I do get it, all joking aside, I get that maybe, like, if you're not going to be there, that it is, like, oh, you know, I'd love to have been there, but please don't shit on the parade. Like, this has been such a hard thing to work on. We've had to work out all the hoops of like how we do a show in the US and how that works tax-wise and logistics and venues and clearance and working with WWE and stuff and all this sort of stuff. And if I was if I was a wrestling fan who did not do a podcast, I didn't just, because some people say, if I was just a wrestling fan, but if I was just a wrestling fan who didn't have a podcast, and I was going to New Orleans and this got announced, I'd be all over it.
Oh, absolutely.
All over it.
Because you never know what Paul's going to say.
But think
you
how,
really don't.
Think how much of a tit you need to be as a human, right? That you see this announcement, you know people have slaved over and worked hard over. You see all the excitement from people. And you have you think to yourself that as a human, to be a good human, you're going to go to the right comment portion and just write, underwhelming. That to me sounds like a beach ball blowing,
whoa!
John Cena merchandise wearing,
oh!
Trump supporter.
Oh, that's the biggest mic drop.
It does make me laugh.
And all joking aside, guys, this is going to be the show of all of WrestleMania week. This is going to be huge. You do not want to miss this whatsoever. You never know what Paul's going to say. The WWE has no control over what he says. He's not being handed the script. He's going to go in there and wow everybody. This is going to be something that everyone is talking about. This is going to be something that the press is going to be begging us for tickets to come and see. They're going to want the comps. Sorry, guys. You got to pay.
There are people who are traveling from other parts of America just to come to this show. And, you know, we were going to be doing it later in the weekend. I know some people have been asking about that. Other commitments have meant we couldn't. Not other commitments from us. My only other commitment that weekend is to go meet Sid. But he, being in the main event at WrestleMania, gives you other commitments, funnily enough. Who would have thought that? Loads of people have been really gracious and tweeting us about, you know, how great a time they had when we brought Paul Heyman over to the UK. I know a lot of people in Ireland are asking, listen, this is not going to be the last thing we do with Paul Heyman. Do not worry about that. It will not be a one and done thing. We will do more stuff with him. Because this is the thing, he has not done this stuff with anybody else.
Yeah.
And the reason he does it with us is because he trusts us. We give him the environment and the platform to do whatever the fuck he wants. We're going to have a video put out in the next couple of days where we're going to have a sort of highlight package of his UK tour. Just as a sort of teaser, because you never know what's going to happen at a Paul Heyman show. You never know who's going to show up at a Paul Heyman show. You know, we did the show in London a couple of years ago, and Will Ospreay showed up. Marty Scurll showed up. Let me tell you this story. This is my favourite thing. So, Marty Scurll and Will Ospreay show up at the show. And then the day before the show, I have a voicemail on my phone. And I do not know this person. I do not know how they got my number. Well, I do know them, but I've not got a person. And I get this voicemail from Juventud Guerrera.
The juice!
With no context, saying, I was going to do an accent there. I'm not going to do it. But he basically said, he was like, hi, this is Juvi, the juice. That was how he introduced himself. And he said, I'd love to come to the show. Love to come to the show and see what's going on. So I said to Paul, I was like, hey, who sent me a message? You know, should we bring him along to the show? And Paul was just kind of like, hey, you know, it's up to you. He was like, you know, for me, it's like, you know, we're going to do a show and I don't need you to bring in, you know, other names to enhance it. But, you know, it's up to you. So I sort of took the onus myself to go, do you know what? I'm just going to leave it. I'm just not going to get back to Juventud Guerrera.
Sure.
And then Juventud Guerrera gate crashed the London show. He turned up in a mask with a suit and a hat. And when I say hat, I mean like an Undertaker hat, essentially. So he had an Undertaker hat on over the mask with a suit.
Oh my God.
And then at the end of the show, he wants to come back and say hi to Paul. So of course we're going to let him come back. And we go back. Now, so bear in mind, before the show, or the day before, Paul had been killing, you know, it's up to you, whatever you want to do. I don't need, you know, more people to enhance it, but it's your call. Do whatever you want to do. And then Juventud Guerrera walks in and Paul's like, juice! And they just have this embrace, and I go, I understand how he ran ECW now. I completely get every single thing. I'm there. And that was just the London show. So he pops a midget in Manchester. He shuts down a heckler in Glasgow. He challenged Trump to a debate in Glasgow. All these things happened when we were in the UK. Think about what could happen with all those crazy elements of his head in New Orleans on WrestleMania weekend. Because
think of how many people are going to be in town that he knows at WrestleMania weekend.
I mean, I have told him that there is absolutely no way that he can bring Brock Lesnar, because I would be murdered. Can you imagine? I met Brock Lesnar once before, he told me to fuck off, so I'm not doing it again. You've had your... That's it. Because knowing me, I'd make a joke, and then he'd just F5 me. But
I mean, that is something that me and Brock Lesnar have in common. I didn't think I would have anything in common with him, but or disdain for you. Maybe the bonding force, Kenny.
Mate, there you go. So the Paul Heyman show, tickets are going to go on sale next Monday, 12 noon Eastern, 11 Central, 9 a.m. Pacific, or 5 p.m. if you're in the UK, and you're buying your tickets for going across there. InsideTheRopes.co.uk, you can get all the information on the pricing, the tier packages, all that sort of stuff. We've got front row packages, second row, regular VIP, all that sort of stuff. But also, we've announced that the UK is going on the list, because Glasgow, Manchester and London are all going to be experiencing the words of Jericho. Chris Jericho coming over live, leg two of the tour that we started last summer in Ireland, which I will repeat 100 times to every Irish person who says, why no Belfast? We did it last year. We did it last year. We did it last year. The summer leg was last year. The summer leg was last year. We did Belfast last summer. And in all the various ways that you can say it. But it's funny. So I was, I remember when Jericho was over last year in Ireland. It was before, the shows, and we were organizing travel and stuff. And I said, oh, it was like after Ireland, he was going to be going to Download to do, you know, with Fozzie. And I said, right, okay, I said, I'll get you a flight from Belfast to whatever was closest to Download, I can't remember. And the closest place that we could get him was Nottingham Airport, but the only airline that flew out of there was, I think it was Ryanair. It was Ryanair or Flybe. Anyway, and I remember mentioning on the phone to him about Ryanair, and he looked, there was a silence, he went, I can't be on fucking Ryanair again. I can't do it. and I went, okay, fine. So we didn't put him on Ryanair, obviously. So anyway, we announced the tour yesterday, and this, you know, full disclosure, my fault. I did not realize the WWE tour was going to be the same week that we were going to be doing shows. Because WWE have always done their UK tour at the end of April or beginning of May. It's never been this far on in May, I don't think. I'm sure of it. So yeah, I just, you know, and then we announced it, and a couple of people said it. So Jericho and I spoke, and we were just kind of like, do you know what, let's move the dates, because... You know, not even because we could, I mean, we could still sell it out, no problem. But there's no point in us going head-to-head with WWE, because then that means people need to choose. Why not let them go to both? So we managed to...
And you don't want to send any messages to the WWE whenever there's obviously nothing there.
Exactly. Now, that's been misreported now, as if to say, we moved the dates because Jericho was scheduled to be on SmackDown and we messed up. No. I love that people think we have that kind of stroke. But, so, anyway...
Could you imagine?
The things that have happened to me in the last 24 hours, we probably can imagine, can't we?
It's fair.
But
it's fair.
So we make the agreement, we're going to move it back a week, and then we managed to, God knows how we got it done in time, but we managed to get all the venues changed straight away. And today, I'd messaged Jericho and said, I'm going to announce it this time. Cool, that's fine. And then, so we'd announced it, and then I sent him over some options for his flight, because we also need to get his flight booked now, because now we know the dates. And I said, here are the flights, and he said, oh, that sounds great, that flight looks good. And then, I don't know why I thought this was a good idea to send this as a text message, but I will read it to you. I said, cool. I also resisted sending you a Ryanair flight option as a joke. And he wrote back, ha 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 ha. I would have told you to fuck right off. So, the banter has begun. So tickets for that are going to go on sale Friday at 3 p.m. UK time, insidetheropes.co.uk. If you have any questions, feel free to message us and we will be happy to help. So, it's been a busy week and it's only Tuesday.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of goings on, you guys. And for everyone asking, for whatever reason, I've gotten this question about a dozen times. Yes, I will be at the Paul Heyman show. Come and say hi. I will gladly chat with you. I will probably be working the Paul Heyman show.
You will.
So long as I am not working during it, like after the show and whatnot or anything.
I'm going to stop you there. I have a rule, and I tell everybody who works for Inside the Ropes with this. See if you're working and somebody comes up to chat to you. And Dave is joking, but like, when you can always chat to somebody. as long as whatever's happening's in hand. Because I like the funniest venue to me is the Comedy Store, because in the Comedy Store, like, the way that it's laid out, you just cannot get from A to B without going through the kind of foyer area where the bar is and where everybody is. So I have to go through that about 6 or 7 times when the meet and greet's going on. And it's like I can't get from A to B in 2 minutes, because every time it's somebody going, Kenny, there's no XL t-shirts left, or I saw that interview you did, or like, it's all these questions. So if you see David and he looks in a rush, I want you to stop him and chat to him for like just enough time that he's going to get worried that some bit of information is not going to be delivered, but then let him go before you think it's going to be detrimental to the show.
Or to my health. That's the other thing.
More to the show.
I do have a bad heart, Kenny. I don't know if you knew
no,
that.
No, come on now.
Yeah. But yeah, I will be there. Val will be there.
What's your meet and greet cost again? What's the autograph and photo combo?
It depends. For Val, hers is $2,000. And even then, she's not going to smile in the photo, she said.
For $2,000, I'd want to be inside her. For fuck's sake. Oh, no, wait, that's really wrong. Cut that. I don't pay for sex. Let's not start that as a thing. I don't get any, but I don't pay for it either. Like, so there's
my
to...
bank account says otherwise, Kenny. For me, I will pay you $1.50 to sign an autograph for you. So there
I
you go.
Pay you Oh, God. But I do want to... So, it's funny. Yeah, so, as David said, Sondra's going to be there. David's going to be there.
Also, I do not sign any private parts. I don't need any Johnson swinging in the wind in my face, okay? Kenny.
I mean, I'm open to signing a private part here or there. You just keep it clean. If the parts are clean, then I will sign.
Right. There has to be enough space for an autograph.
So, if you're hung, come over and get an autograph. If you're not... If you've got a deep, if you've got a deep vagina, we'll happily sign it for you.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ!
Or if you are a deep vagina, just come get something. Either or.
That guy that was complaining about the underwhelming announcement. Maybe he'll show up.
No, that, I feel like if
the biggest dick in the room.
The sort of people that say that's underwhelming, the sort of people who would go, like they'd live in the suburbs of Glasgow, like Paisley, and be like. Nah, if you're not coming to Paisley Town Hall, I'm not coming. Now, bear in mind that the train from Paisley to Glasgow is a 10-minute train. So, that, you know, that is that guy. Or girl. Right. Equal opportunity.
Sure. Everyone can be a dick, Kenny.
That's true. Yeah, that is very true. That's very true. I also want to point your attention to a couple of things. Please do go over to our YouTube channel. youtube.com/InsideTheRopes, where you can check out some interviews we've got with Stephanie McMahon. She talks about maybe returning to the ring. Roman Reigns, he talks potentially about a Shield triple threat. Some cool stuff up there that we got at the Make-A-Wish event from last week. Because more interviews going up soon. We got a couple of interviews with The Bar and Mark Henry, where sadly the audio is pretty much dead. So we have tried to fix them as much as we can. The Mark Henry one's pretty decent. The Sheamus and Cesaro one, it's kind of borderline whether we're going to put it out. I think we should put it out with a little disclaimer rather than not, so you at least have the option if you want to watch it.
What about subtitles? Have you thought about that, or is that even an option?
No, I think subtitles would work. I think they would actually be a good idea for this. So maybe a couple more days and we can get that sorted. Thank you for reminding me of that. But last week on this show, we talked about Raw 25, and I think the time we podcasted, I had recovered a little bit from my original sort of like ramblings about it. And, you know, I've watched the show back on TV, and I think overall the show was fun enough. I do think it was a kind of slightly under average episode for the sort of hype in the build.
For what it was, right.
So, much to my surprise, have you seen this?
I don't even know what you're talking about. How can I tell you if I've seen it or not? Jesus!
I've had a few tweets already about the WWE have posted a behind-the-scenes Manhattan Center video. And during the Undertaker's entrance, who do you see with beaming with happiness but me?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I have not seen it. My goodness.
There you go. of all the times and all the places in all the world.
I'm looking at the screen here. That's great. Wow. Wow, it's like a close up of your face too.
Yeah, yeah. So
Jiminy Christmas. That's pretty great. I love it. That's awesome.
But yeah, so we usually, in terms of banter, it's going to be kind of a little bit short this week because we've got tons to talk about. But let's talk about some news, because there's news that I think is very shocking. Jeremy Borash is departing Impact Wrestling to go to the WWE. PW Insider reported it. Dave Meltzer's confirmed it. He's expected to work in NXT, but no further details on his role so far. When he's with Impact Wrestling, you know, he was somebody wrote this on Twitter, and I think it's actually a really valid point. He is a bigger loss to that company than Hogan, Sting, the Hardys, Angle, because he was the glue that kept that thing together for a long, long time.
He was the linchpin, as it were.
He was even pretty much one of the people who really helped get the Broken Hardys thing off the ground.
Yeah.
And he was really pivotal in producing all the kind of Hardy compound stuff. He was doing JR's slobber knocker session in Philadelphia Royal Rumble weekend. I mean, he was telling people that he'd, you know, visiting friends, but by Raw, people had kind of found out that he'd got hired. So, I guess, what do you think about Jeremy Borash being the newest signee to the NXT roster? Do you think he's going to be in the tag division, singles division? Where's Jeremy Borash going in NXT?
I have never in my life been so shocked at someone leaving TNA, and I'm being 110% sincere with that, because that guy lived and breathed TNA. He was the reason that they've lived as long as they have, because he did everything. Me and you were talking in private, actually, about a month or two ago about how much that guy means to that company, and now he's gone. So to me, I mean, we always hear the, oh, TNA's dead thing, and I never believe it, but this isn't a good sign.
No, not at all. Sorry, I just put a charger into my laptop there, but yeah, no, it's not a good sign. I think that he is one of the pivotal parts of Impact, or TNA, whatever you want to call it, and yeah, I mean,
he's been there forever, too.
I said this today on Twitter, and I fully stand by it. I don't know if there's anyone who has worked harder, non-wrestler, let's say. I don't know if there's any non-wrestler who's worked harder to get here than him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
no, I think that is definitely a fair assumption. You can draw the parallels, actually, between JR finally getting hired by the WWF at the time, WWE now, and Jeremy Borash just now coming, because for decades, JR was trying to get to the WWF at the time, and he couldn't do it. And then he finally did after all that time. So you want my hot take, Kenny, on the Jeremy Borash thing?
Of course.
I think that Jeremy Borash will be pivotal to the WWE for the next 20 years, at least.
Wow. Now, see, I feel bad because, so Jeremy Borash, we used to kind of have some kind of jokes and stuff about Jeremy Borash in the podcast. And probably the worst one was when one of our listeners, I think it was Stuart, if I remember correctly, but I could be wrong. We had expressed concern for Jeremy Borash's health, because there was at one point where he'd put on a little bit of weight, and every time he spoke, I thought his head was going to explode. And,
sure.
I'd said this as a, you know, joking concern, and of course somebody decided to tag Jeremy Borash in something and expressed that I'd said this, and he said, "I'd like to tell you, Kenny, to fuck off." And I wrote back, "And you are well within your right to do so, sir. Have a nice day." I'm hoping we can get over it. I'm hoping that we can move on. I'm hoping that we can become friends, really.
Do you think Jeremy Borash even remembers who you are?
Of course he doesn't. I'm joking. It's just, but isn't it funny how sometimes, like, something that you remember is not even a blip on another person's radar, and it was the same experience.
Yeah. For certain. Yeah. Yeah. So. There's no doubt that's like the 3 a.m. anxiety, right? You know, like you're sitting there, and all of a sudden something creeps into your mind, and you're all like, I remember this from like 17 years ago, and this is horrible, and it's going to ruin my life for the rest of my life now. And then, you know, you forget it in an hour, but it keeps you up at night at least. that's Jeremy Borash thinking back to you calling him chubby.
I didn't call him chubby. Don't add names into it.
Direct quote. I remember it.
Direct quote. Fuck's sake.
Verbatim. You said, oh, he looks like half of a McCutcheon. And he was all like, fuck you, Kenny McIntosh. Like that fucking blobbish piece of shit. I never thought of it. Nobody even, you barely even knew who I was then.
You did not have that problem now, I can assure you. So anyway, the other thing I wanted to bring up before we talk about Raw you know, because we're pretty much on the road now, right? To WrestleMania. Pretty much there. Well, two things, actually. Something's just been broken. I don't know if you've read this information about Daniel Bryan and SmackDown?
No.
This is interesting. Do you mind if I read the whole thing to you? Because I think the whole thing would be good for... Your reaction to it's going to be better if I actually tell you the whole thing. So.
Sure.
SmackDown Live General Manager Daniel Bryan took to Twitter today to reveal a new ranking system for the superstars of Team Blue. The SmackDown Top 10 list is a new way for the superstars on SmackDown Live to show Bryan and Commissioner Shane McMahon who is most deserving of future opportunities. This week, the men and women of Team Blue will vote on who they think is the best on Tuesday nights. The criteria is to include overall talent, locker room leadership, and athletic skill. Bryan did note that there are some ground rules, though. Neither he nor McMahon will be voting, and no superstar can vote for him or herself. How will the announcement of the SmackDown Top 10 list affect the future of Team Blue? Find it tonight on SmackDown.
I love that. I think that's great. That's an interesting concept. There's sports that do something similar with this. I'm not sure the exact sport. I think it may be American football. But to where the athletes, they have to vote on like who they think is the best player, and they can't vote for themselves. So, and they can't vote for anyone on their team. They have to vote for someone on another team. So I think that's brilliant. I think that's really fun. And it will be a lot better in terms of, because right now SmackDown's sort of in a rut, right? With their mid card. Would you agree with that?
I mean, a rut's being kind to SmackDown. Do you know what I think's interesting about it is that, cause, if I remember correctly, if Robert was here, he'd remember this. I'm sure TNA did something like this. Or they tried to do a ranking system. I'm sure Bischoff was still there when they did it. But
now, my concern would be, where would, say, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens rank on that, since they are dastardly, cowardly, manipulative heels?
Well, what I was going to say is, I think that the ranking system has been, dabbled with before in wrestling. I actually think it's a really good idea. It's just never been executed that well. It's like another thing in wrestling. One thing I've always thought they've left money on the table with, company after company after company, is the old versus the young. But in saying that, one of the best moments of that Royal Rumble, men's match, was you had Balor, Nakamura, and Roman, I think it was, against Cena, Orton, and Mysterio.
Yes.
And I just thought that was excellent stuff. Really excellent, because it was believable.
Absolutely.
You three won't fuck off, and we all want to be the main event now. And it made sense. And anyway, so I think my only thing about it is I would like there to be, like, if somebody is, you know, like Nakamura almost needs to be number one because he's the number one contender to the WWE title, you know, or are the champions
champion excluded?
We don't know. We're still trying to, or you know, if the champions are included. Is it like AJ number one is AJ number one, Bobby Roode number two, The Usos number three, Charlotte number four, or whatever variation of that four that you want to do? The good thing is it opens up interesting discussion, and I think you can get behind it. The negative is that if one or two details aren't taken care of, then it'll be a bit of a clusterfuck.
Yeah. They need some direction with it, regardless of what happens. They need some sort of direction or directive with it. Yeah,
I would agree. But exciting times. And then finally, before we talk about Raw, we did a Patreon exclusive review of the Royal Rumble on Sunday night / Monday morning. And it was 3 hours and 47 minutes long. I drank throughout. Continued to drink throughout, sorry. I was drunk when I started, and I kept drinking as it went on.
Yes, I can confirm this.
Sondra got ratty because she just couldn't deal with going that long. She would then say things like, I'm so tired, and I'd be like, it's 9 a.m. here, love. Calm yourself down. David got ranty. There was a lot, but I actually think, I would go as far as to say, I think it is the best pay-per-view review of the Patreon era of Inside the Ropes.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if I could find a better one. Because I don't usually, I'm not a fan. Like, so Sondra, break behind the fourth wall here a little bit. Whenever Sondra used to do the NXT rundown on the old VIP, and at the beginning it was her and Bob would lead it, and then Bob died, so she had to lead it. And the thing that Sondra and I would always kind of go back and forth on is I'd be like, it cannot be 2.5 hours. The show is 45 minutes. And, you know, part of what makes Sondra great in these podcasts is she loves the minutia of wrestling. And that's what's great. It makes her different. But this was one of those efforts where it wasn't her fault that we went 4 hours. We all just went 4 hours. And we didn't plan to go 4 hours. And I think that...
No.
So I know sometimes you can see something and go, wow, that's really long. But I honestly think it's very much... It's worth your time so much that I think I'm going to listen to it later on this week. Because I want to hear it. Because I don't really remember a lot of it. I remember bits and pieces. But I think it's very much worth your time. It's at the $5 level. Patreon.com/InsideTheRopes. We, as of right now, before that went up... I've not checked here. Before that went up, we had 589 patrons. And we now have... 651.
Wow. Huge numbers. That's awesome. That's a big increase for us.
Yeah.
And for anyone who loves me, which is all of you, I've been told by numerous people that it was the funniest podcast I have ever partaken in. So there you go.
There you go. Even Daniel Morris, who once used the words, "You're great, David," on the Raw Rundown. which is my favorite backwards compliment of all time.
By far mine too.
Because he thought it was like, I'm giving you a compliment. I'm like, no, you're not. You're saying he's only you're saying you only like him for a 90-minute period of time when you're not with him. That's not a compliment.
I mean, to be fair, 90 minutes is about the maximum that people can usually tolerate of me.
I think that's untrue. I could tolerate 3 hours and 47 minutes of you. That's
Is that why we didn't go 3 hours 49 minutes?
Yeah, I was done. Even with like a liter of vodka, I mean, there's only so much that can enhance you.
Right. The more alcohol you consume, the more the tolerance of David J. McCutcheon rises.
We've also got tons of bonus podcasts coming up on Patreon. We have got David and I are doing one on wrestling video games. We're also reviewing Extreme Rules 2009 at some point. We've got a couple more to do. Sondra and I are going to be reviewing No Way Out of Texas from 1998 on February 15th. Finn and I always have the Power Slam podcast that goes up 24 hours early. There's also a Power Slam Overrun that goes up. We've got one going up in the next kind of one that should be up by now, actually, where we talk about the cruiserweight division and Enzo going and that kind of stuff. And then David and I will be back late February to do the Elimination Chamber, which is going to be a very interesting event, it looks like. You know, we're going to have a male chamber match with... I'm just going to say he's in it, even though it's not Reigns. We're going to have a male chamber match with Reigns, Cena, and Braun in it, which is a really interesting group of people because they all vary in how much we like them. And then there's also a women's elimination chamber, which then on top of the women's elimination chamber is Ronda Rousey going to be there. And then, you know, there's a lot of other questions. So that's going to be a really good one. And then beginning of March, Sondra and I will be doing Fastlane, the SmackDown pay-per-view. There'll be bonus podcasts throughout the time. And then before you know it, it'll be WrestleMania. It'll be WrestleMania, and it'll be time to do it. Now, David, just in full disclosure, David is going to be flying home the Monday after WrestleMania. Is that right?
I may. We're going to basically, so for anyone, I mentioned it on the Rumble podcast. I don't know if anyone here knows or not. I got a diabetic cat and I love the cat more than I love everyone else in my life. So,
He did text me to say I'm a close second sometimes, but I just want to clarify.
Yeah. It varies with, Val and Kenny, depending on who has, done sexual favors to me last. But with this cat, though, number one thing in my life, love her to death, she has to have an insulin shot every 12 hours. Now, she is deathly afraid of strangers, and I'm not going to board her because she is claustrophobic. So I'm not going to fucking stick her
you
in a cage
you
for...
You cannot board a... I mean, I'm a very relaxed pet owner. I mean, I don't have a pet, but when I was, I'm a very
yes.
relaxed... But to me, even me, I'm very relaxed, and I'm one of those people that look at pet owners and go, get a fucking grip. But even I would say a 13-year-old cat with diabetes is not somebody who should be boarded under any circumstance.
No, exactly. And she hates being in a kennel no matter what. So, and I was like, so if you would board her, like, would it be in a room? And then they just point to this tiny cage in the corner. I'm like, fuck you. So, yeah. So basically I have to see over the next few weeks how well I can get strangers to give her shots with a fucking needle twice daily. So, I mean, to be fair, she's doing fucking great with it, but thus she hasn't put up a struggle once. So maybe it'll go well. If it goes well, I'll stick around for Raw. Probably not SmackDown, but I will be around for Raw, and we can record a podcast right after.
Well, because what I was going to say is, what we might try and do, I've not broached this to David or Sandra, but I think it could be fun, is I was going to say if David was leaving the Monday that I would do all I could to help him leave later in the day so we could record our annual WrestleMania podcast when we're in person.
Oh yeah, that will get done. That will, no matter what happens, we will record in person the WrestleMania podcast.
And I'm also going to try and find a way for that to be videoed this year as well. But then what we might do is for the Raw and SmackDown after WrestleMania, we might just double up and have the three of us on all of those podcasts. So bring Sandra in for Raw, bring David in for SmackDown, big shows, and we might do that.
I think that's best, actually, yeah.
Kind of like when, you know, WWE do the same city, we do the same cast for the big four.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're not doing that right now because we're doing the post-Royal Rumble Raw and Sandra's
right
here. But...
Right, something to break the ice, though, perhaps, at WrestleMania.
Yeah, we'll see how we go. So let's talk about Monday Night Raw. It was the night after the Royal Rumble. The re-debut, the return of Jonathan Coachman, the coach. And I just want to say straight out of the gate, I really liked Coach here. And I'm really happy he's back.
I liked how often he would mention the NFL and the Super Bowl and everything that the XFL doesn't want you to hear.
Well, listen, he's not in charge of commentary. But no, I thought that he was, like, he wasn't, because the thing is, he couldn't really, you weren't really watching when he was an announcer before, right?
No, but I've seen bits and pieces.
But, like, he couldn't really come back in and be the coach with the backwards cap and the... Like, he just couldn't. He's been to ESPN. But what I liked about it is he did bring a little bit of an ESPN vibe to stuff. Like, I really liked in the Cena match, actually, where Coach said he's playing to the crowd too much. He's like, the way Coach was doing it, like, he would have his little... But then he would have little funny bits where, like, you know, after the Braun thing, he was like, I really should have started next week, shouldn't I? You know, and he was... I thought he was... I mean, I don't know whether it's because Booker T was so bad. Like, maybe they brought Booker T in just to get it to a level where you go, Coach is really good. So...
Yeah.
But I liked seeing him back, and I actually think that Coach Cole and Corey...
Oh, boy.
All have... I mean, this was night one, and I thought their chemistry was decent. So I'm actually really looking forward to the three of them together in commentary, because I think they could bounce off each other pretty well.
I loved it. I loved it. Coach is good. It's a vast improvement over Booker T. He treated wrestling as if it were more of a competitive sport, which I loved. I thought that was kind of refreshing. He did bring like that ESPN sports presentation to it, which was great too. That again, that was refreshing. We're so used to everything being argumentative. And he was going over the philosophies. A lot of times they would cut him off and shoot him down. So I don't expect that to last very long. You know, he would go, boy, Apollo Crews, you know, he there's too much flash and not enough substance with his maneuvers. And they would quickly go, no, you can't say that. Silly coach, you're going to learn. We'll break you one way or the other. But this was it was very interesting, though. I liked the dynamic that the guys had together, too. I like whenever Corey accidentally called him Cole, and he goes, don't insult me like that. And he goes, it could have been worse. I could have called you Booker. So good. It was fun. I really like the coach here, and I don't know if I'll be saying that a month from now after he's indoctrinated. But as of right now, I really like the coach here.
Yeah, I thought he was really good. So, and I was worried when he came back. So I was like, oh God, what's it going to be like? It's going to be terrible. But no, he was really good and a little bit of a breath of fresh air. So yeah, the show is basically the beginning of the build to Elimination Chamber / WrestleMania. We have a video talking about Ronda Rousey. I do want to ask you very quickly because, oh bollocks, Scott Robertson, I think it was. Scott Robertson? Yeah. Scott Robertson asked on Twitter this question, I think we should probably tackle here. He wasn't very happy with how the main roster women were treated in the Royal Rumble match in terms of them being put out by legends more than he would like. Is that something that you noticed? Is that something that you think was a problem? Can you just summarize how you thought the presentation of the Women's Royal Rumble was overall / and then maybe lead into the Ronda Rousey stuff of, you know, should they have overplayed or underplayed Rousey more at the end?
Yeah, I think Asuka should have come in a lot earlier in the match. She came, I don't know the exact number that she came in. She came in the 25. Late teens or early, oh wow, 25.
I think it was 25. I'll double check what you're talking about.
Yeah, way, way later than she should have. She should have been in like a 12 or something, you know? And she came in late in the game and ended up winning kind of definitely not nonchalantly, but I mean, by comparison to somebody like Sasha, who was in there for so long, it wouldn't have killed them to put her in the early teens, I think. But regardless, due to that, they put in people like Nia Jax and Asuka later in the game, and even Bayley. And thus we had to see legends throw out people like the Riot Squad and Absolution and this and that. It was definitely problematic, and it's one of the reasons why I think the Men's Royal Rumble match was infinitely superior, because you didn't have people like the Hurricane come in and throw out six people the way that, say, a Michelle McCool did. So, yeah, and I mean, even then, you got down to the final three, and it was the Bella Twins who, let's face it, they're part-time. Even if they're going to be full-time from here on out, they are seen right now. The perception of them as of the Royal Rumble is they are part-timers or returning talents. And they were two of the final three? Eh, that rubs me wrong in all the horrible ways. But alas, if you want more of my opinions on the Women's Royal Rumble, and especially the Bellas, I highly recommend that you subscribe to our Patreon and hear one of the funniest skits that we've ever done here at Inside.
Try being in the middle for David and Sondra talking about Nikki Bella. It's like, I mean, you could not get more Switzerland. There's just no way.
For me,
I know you'd ask that, Scott. I didn't hugely have a problem with it, but that mainly because I don't think that many of the women on the main roster mean that much. I think that's the bigger problem. But I thought the people who needed to be protected, who were Nia Jax and Asuka and Sasha, I think they all got what they needed. You know, Sasha got to eliminate Trish Stratus and Bayley and go 54 minutes. Nia Jax got to, you know, eliminate Kelly Kelly, which made it the love of my life. Ruby Riott, Naomi, Jacqueline, and have the big stare off with Beth Phoenix and stuff. So I thought that Nia and Sasha and Asuka looked great, and they're the only people in it that I really thought needed to look great, because the other, you know, people like Kairi Sane or Ember Moon, you can't really judge it the same way because they're NXT. But yeah, I guess you could maybe say the Riott Squad, but I think the Riott Squad are atrocious, so it doesn't really bother me. Molly Holly eliminating Sarah Logan was more just like, yay, Molly Holly for me. But I do understand if you're more invested in some of the women, that would be a problem. I think maybe what to take out of it, based on what Scott's saying and stuff, is that they need to find better stories for the women so that you care more about the women and rather than caring more about people from the past.
Right, but I mean, it would also be a good launch pad, perhaps, for some of these women to come out and eliminate some of the legends or beat them up, give them some sort of rub from them rather than just the legends eliminate these new women.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think now that Ronda Rousey's in, we're going to see the division is going to change. There's just there's no choice. It can't not change. You know?
Yes.
So yeah. Ronda Rousey, though, what do you think?
I'm all in for Ronda Rousey. Screw anybody who doesn't like Ronda Rousey or calls her a part-timer or this or that. You don't know her. Don't you judge. And I'm so sick of this. Well, she doesn't deserve it. Who are you to fucking judge who deserves something or who doesn't? What if she coming into there doubles the Raw ratings? Does she deserve it then? Because she put more eyes on the product and created more fans? Fuck you guys. You don't know shit about dick. That's my thought.
You don't know shit about dick.
That's right. Yeah. I am King Shit of Fuck Mountain. And I will tell you what is the real, as the Iron Sheik would say.
What is the real? My God. So we open the show with Stephanie coming out. She brings out Asuka, the winner of the Royal Rumble. Asuka then speaks in Japanese, which just cracked me up. Because, like, nobody... Like, I remember I literally said out loud as I'm watching it today, she was like, said the whole spiel, and then I just kind of went, I don't understand what you're saying. and then
I think what I love about that more than anything is that she doesn't care that you don't understand.
She gives zero fucks.
Yes.
I actually watched I watched the Women's Royal Rumble back today, and I actually enjoyed it more on second watch. Basically when Asuka comes out, she talks in Japanese, and then she says that she, and then just, I love that she points to the sign. Stephanie's like, well, there's something I can understand. It's just the best line. I feel like somebody gave Stephanie some sort of like tolerance pill, like where she had to like become more tolerable than she usually is as a character. So she has a wee joke there with Asuka, and then she says she's gonna become champion at WrestleMania because nobody's ready for Asuka. Then Sasha comes out. Corey Graves calls Sasha Banks the habitual spotlight stealer. And then Sasha says that she proved at the Rumble she can go the distance and that she's ready for Asuka. Stephanie books Sasha and Asuka for later on the show. They kind of jawjack each other. Stephanie's trying to maintain control. And that's the opening segment. What did you think? You know, opening segment for the women, putting over the Royal Rumble again. You got the Ronda Rousey stuff happening in the background. And then we've got Asuka, what title is she going to go for? She's, you know, the Women's Elimination Chamber's coming up that we got announced. And then Sasha's coming in, wants to take Asuka on. I thought it was a pretty hot opening segment, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought it was good from like a in the bubble type of perspective. I will say a ton of people, everybody knows me as the wrestling guy for better or worse. A ton of people I work with, a ton of people that I know that aren't wrestling fans. My phone was blowing up the entire time going, where's Ronda Rousey? Where's Ronda Rousey? So it's not their fault. I understand she had to do a film and everything, but kind of a misstep to not have Ronda here tonight after creating such a buzz, because I was polling these people. I'm like, would you still tune in? Because they all tuned in. And would you still tune in for Ronda next week? And they're all like, well, she's probably not showing up, so probably not. So just something to ponder from an outsider's perspective. We're always so caught up in the bubble, Kenny, that we'll watch regardless, you know?
Let me ask this. Do you think, because I assume that maybe she had to go straight back to Colombia for this movie.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, no, she definitely did.
Do you think in hindsight they should have not had her debut? If they could have her debut at the Rumble like this and then go back, or debut her later, what would have been better, do you think?
Easily bring her up on Raw instead of the Royal Rumble. I thought that her appearance at the end of the Rumble kind of shit on Asuka's parade, and having it on free TV would spike that rating. It's not like they're doing a buy rate for the Royal Rumble. And
what I did like about the thing with Asuka at the end is when Asuka slapped her hand away, I really liked that because it was kind of like Asuka going, don't you dare come and steal my moment. You know, and I thought that was an important part that she got to do that. Which, by the way, just very quickly, it's completely different. Somebody just sent me something on Instagram, which is tremendous. I didn't watch the XFL the whole 25-minute thing that Vince McMahon did, but apparently he says at one point, and it's so good, is he's talking about, you know, why the XFL would be better than the NFL. And he says, and this is word for word quote, he says, "Oh, sitting and watching a three and a half hour game is laborious sometimes."
Yeah.
Monday Night Raw is 3 hours and 15 minutes long.
Yep.
Anyway, so yeah.
Kenny, I will ask you one thing throughout the history of our Raw rundowns.
Uh-huh.
This is the only thing that I will ask you to keep a chain on me. Never ask me about the XFL in any capacity, because if you want, if you want to remain a friend of the WWE, you will not have me go uncensored about the XFL.
I already know fine well what topics that I can cover with you and cannot. I'm very aware.
Yes.
And then I walk away and I go, God, I'm such a sellout. And then I realize I don't care. So anyway, we're going to have Elimination Chamber qualifier matches. Braun Strowman versus Kane in the Last Man Standing match. Matt Hardy versus Elias and John Cena versus Finn Balor. At this point in the show, I was very like, oh God, Cena Balor, that's good. That's a WrestleMania season main event.
It is.
So
we'll definitely get into that.
For sure. So we get Braun Strowman versus Kane in the Last Man Standing match. The match is joined in progress. I loved it as Strowman came down to the ring. Like, Strowman just starts like chucking bits of furniture about, just setting the scene.
Yeah.
Match was quite short because Strowman took Kane all the way over to where the announcers are. And then he stood up on the stage and... Well, no, he didn't. So he went to where the staging is and lifted the stage that the announce table is on and chucked it on top of Kane. and the referee calls for the bell. All the EMTs are out. And then Corey Graves goes up to Strowman. He's like, that's a human being. What did you just do? And Strowman's like, Kurt Angle said last man standing. That's what I did. You can't fault that.
I was going to say, he's not wrong.
He did exactly
seriously.
Like,
don't book the match if you don't want him to do it.
Some people were like, oh, that spot sucked because Kane didn't get hurt. Shush. Just shush.
Oh,
it was fun.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
If you're going to think about that kind of stuff, it's like, how were you able to watch Royal Rumble 98 when The Undertaker was set on fire in a casket and then was fine?
How often was he buried alive throughout the history of WWE, you know
Braun
what I mean?
Strowman
it's like...
came out of a garbage truck 8 days later unscathed, and it was a different garbage truck. Think of it. Now, I want to see that documentary of how he got back. But
Now, Shane McMahon had his testicles electrocuted until they popped, yet he has kids. So, I mean...
That's maybe my favorite one.
Do that math!
Yeah, do that
Internet.
Math. so good. So Braun Strowman is victorious. He's going on. Then backstage, Kurt Angle comes up to him. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, can you just give me a break for once? Can you just give me a break? And Strowman's like, you're lucky I didn't do more. You said it was last man standing, and I'll be the last man standing tonight. I'll be the last man standing at Elimination Chamber, and I'll be the last man standing over Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, and walked away. And at that point, if he wasn't before, he is my favorite wrestler.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Have you noticed how much better he is at promos now, too?
Yeah, because he knows the character. He knows that he's just mental, and that's all he needs to... He can just be mental.
Now, before we go any further, we got to talk about Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss in that video. There's a minute-long video for the Mixed Match Challenge on WWE's YouTube page. And it is the best thing on the internet today. Yesterday was our Paul Heyman and Chris Jericho initial announcements. Actually, the Chris Jericho final dates today, best thing. This is the second best thing on the internet today, though, you guys. It is Braun Strowman teaching Alexa Bliss how to lift up cars. And he introduces it by going, I know it's not an ambulance or a tractor trailer, but I figured we would start you on something small. And then fucking teaches her how to lift up a car. And she's just dumbfounded. It's the best thing. You gotta go seek it out.
He manages to be crazy. My favorite part of it is that he puts on, he makes Alexa Bliss wear one of his t-shirts.
Yes.
And I don't mean like here is one of the shirts that is made for me. I mean the size of Braun Strowman.
Yes.
T-shirt.
Yes, the actual size of Braun Strowman.
It is superb. I hope this is a series. Keep it going.
Just brilliant. I love it.
Now, I want to ask you about Braun Strowman, actually, because he's not really on the show after this. So, it was reported in The Observer last week that Braun Strowman was maybe going to be facing The Miz at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental title. And we talked about that, I think.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Now, the thing that's interesting was this did not strike me that's where they're going with him.
No. It really doesn't. I feel...
I tell you what I want at WrestleMania. I want to see Triple H and Stephanie McMahon against Ronda Rousey and Braun Strowman.
Absolutely, absolutely, because that is the match that the most eyes will be on, and I think we can agree that most eyes need to be on Braun Strowman.
If there's any god in the world, whoever you pray to, whether it's, you know, a god or a penis or a vagina or cheese, whatever you pray to.
Oh, I love cheese.
Then Braun Strowman. Now, the thing is, if they get The Rock, I understand. You know, I know some people are going to be mental about it. I get it, you know, but at the same time, if you've not got The Rock for it, Braun Strowman is your pick. Without question.
By far. And it's a tricky situation because we want something really good for The Miz and we want something really good for Braun Strowman at WrestleMania. And I just don't think that the thing that we need for both of them is to face each other.
I just don't think it adds to both their strengths. I think they could build the whole thing up great. It would be great in the build-up. I just think that the match would be Braun killing him in 2 minutes and it would be completely forgettable. And I think he's better than that. I think Miz works better in a match where he has a chance to win, as we'll see later on. There's the other option. It's a long shot, but maybe Braun goes into the Universal title match with Lesnar and Reigns. Maybe they go that way. It's not possible. I don't really know where else you could put him. I've seen somebody mentioned that Lashley, who's coming to WWE, he's able to compete as of February 1st. Lashley's kind of... I mean, I don't really know MMA, so I'm the wrong guy to ask. But, you know, he fights in Bellator, and he's got a pretty good rep and stuff. And he's improved a lot in the last couple of years in promos and things. So, if he's got, like, a high-profile match, like one of those, then that could be fine. But I think the Miz thing would be a misstep. I'd like to be wrong.
Do you think Lashley would just be on the main roster straight away?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because he was on the main roster before.
Of course.
And he was ECW champion and he was in the Battle of the Billionaires. So I feel like if you put him in NXT, you're shitting on him more than you need to.
Yeah, I completely agree. But they do that, like with Drew McIntyre, for example.
I think the difference maybe is that Drew never really got the full shake on the main roster.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Some of that was because he had some issues personally that he's talked about. It's not my place to bring them up, but took him a couple of years to kind of get his head back in the game. Lashley is now. Let me see. Lashley is 41 years old. So, yeah, I think he needs to be plugged in straight away. I think a Lashley Lesnar program would be great. So I hope they go that direction. I know it's funny because I know some people just have no interest in Lashley, and that might be from the last time they saw him in WWE. But
sure,
a couple of times that I've tuned in at TNA to see him, he's really good, especially in promos because. They did a storyline in TNA not too long ago where, like, he had these, like, trainers, and, like, one of the trainers was telling him, fuck this wrestling stuff, just do the MMA, it's easier. And then the other guy said, you need to do wrestling, this is your passion. And he had to try and, like, fight in himself to decide what he wanted to do. And it was interesting. So, if you had to come up with three scenarios for Braun that you would like to see him in at WrestleMania, or kind of feel that it was worthy of Braun, can you come up with three that you would like?
Lashley would definitely be one, just because of the fact that he's a big-ass bruiser, and we like seeing big, tough guys face other big, tough guys. Beyond that, obviously the preferred scenario is the Ronda Rousey rub, right? You know, whatever she does, that's going to be the true main event for the outside world, and that's going to eat away at a lot of people listening, but I'm not here to make your feelings feel better. I'm here to tell you the truth, and sometimes the truth hurts you guys. That's going to be the real main event, because everybody around the world's going to be talking about it. Everybody around the world is buzzing about it. You know what was trending after the Royal Rumble for hours upon hours until we went to bed in the wee hours of the morning, Kenny? It wasn't Asuka. It was Ronda Rousey. If you like that or not, that's what it is. And I would love for Braun Strowman to get that rub.
What I love about the idea? What I love about Ronda Rousey doing this mixed tag, I love a mixed tag, I'm sorry. I love it. I'm a big fan of it. And as someone who loves mixed tag and had to watch that crock of a one last year.
Yeah.
And again, I like the characters. I just thought the match was dreadful. But I think this could be really good. But if
Kenny, can I? I just had an epiphany.
Sure.
I can safely say now, in retrospect, that my first WrestleMania wasn't that great. Like, looking back on it, I can safely say from a distance to where I don't hold any, like, fantastic feelings towards it, and it's, there's no newness to it. There's no, like, once-in-a-lifetime thing. Because I'm going to see a real great WrestleMania this time, Kenny.
I mean, I don't know if you should be as optimistic at this point, because I've been where you've been.
I've traveled the roads you've traveled.
At the very least, I get Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles.
Can you imagine if it's 18 seconds? Oh, God, it'd be so...
I would just have to quit ITR, and I love ITR, but I couldn't watch wrestling anymore. It would just be the end of it. I'd quit.
Oh, God. No, but I think...
You know, like, can we start covering New Japan instead on Mondays, Kenny?
But I think, like, before you go on to your other two options, you mentioned the mixed tag there. I do one of the big plus points that I hope other people can see, even if you're not a huge Ronda Rousey fan, is that they're building it up more and more, and then she goes into the division, which makes the division get even more rub. But also, the silver lining is it's going to mean that we're going to get Asuka versus Charlotte at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Which is going to be phenomenal. Yeah. Asuka and Charlotte.
Just and fantastic. Then, and like then the ideal scenario.
And apparently they're also going to do Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss. They're two of my favorites. I'm glad they're getting a little match as well.
Sure. And they have a story. What do you know? A women's storyline. That would be great.
So, yeah, anyway, sorry. What were your other two matches? So you've got the mixed tag that you'd like. What
the mixed tag, we could do just the one-on-one scenario with Triple H if the Ronda Rousey thing doesn't come to pass. Because right now everything is tentative. Triple H is an obvious, easy solution to that. If you have to bring back The Undertaker, Kenny, controversial opinion, I would much prefer to see Braun Strowman and The Undertaker than John Cena and The Undertaker. John Cena and The Undertaker does literally zero for me. Like, that would be the match where I would have to go and get a snack.
I mean, I think, I understand where you're coming from, especially after this show. I think Cena Undertaker can be good, but I think the thing that's problematic is that you have to, for it to work, Cena has to basically not be who he was on this episode. Yeah, exactly. He needs to be, and the thing is, it's interesting to me that when was the last time that John Cena was effective, do you think? Because I know exactly what I'm thinking.
The US title open challenge.
So for me, it's last year's Royal Rumble match with AJ Styles. That was
very clear miss on my part. So yeah, that's my bad. You are correct.
No, but it's been a while, right? That's the gist of it. It's been a while.
It's been over a year.
Yeah. So and he has been put in various things that he did not want to be a part of. But instead of enhancing them, he was just kind of there. You know, he just kind of. And I think that's part. That's the problem. You know, it's just kind of. He was just kind of there. So I think as someone who has for years wanted to see that match, Undertaker and John Cena, I think that it could still be a good match, but I completely understand after this show why you're not in any way intrigued about it. And actually, it's funny, what year was it that they were talking about Undertaker and Braun? Was it 2016 or 2017?
I want to say it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I want to say it was 2016 because Braun had not become in any way what we love about him now. And he had, but...
Yes.
So, they were talking about Dallas WrestleMania. And I don't know if those episodes are available right now, but they'll be in the archives eventually. If you can go back and listen to me and Robert talk about that. Braun Strowman? Like... it's like you threw a piece of cancer at us. You know, it's just like, oh, no! I just got hit with the cancer, you know. So, but now it's like he's cheese. Oh, the cheese! You know, smother me in it. So, God, that was a terrible comparison. Anyway, you get what I mean. Anyway, so that's the three. That's the three matches that you want to see. Great. Okay.
Yeah. I would be okay with any of those.
We're an hour and 4 minutes into the show, and we've only covered one segment.
Yes.
Elias versus Woken Matt Hardy in an Elimination Chamber qualifier. Elias does a pre-match song, and then it goes about 9 minutes, and then when Hardy's kind of got the upper hand, Bray Wyatt's video flashes. This distracts Matt Hardy long enough for Elias to hit him with a brutal big boot, and then a drift away for the win. And then after the match, Bray Wyatt appeared on the screen to laugh, and that was that. What did you think of the match?
This was really forgettable, Kenny. Mm-hmm. Whenever that bell rings and Elias is in there, ooh, man, I love Elias as a character, you guys, but man, oh man, as a wrestler, he's the drizzling shits. I feel bad for Matt. I don't know, man, this isn't looking good. This is looking kind of dire, Kenny.
Well, it's because we need to, I mean, you know, with the Bray Wyatt thing afterwards, it was never about the laughing. The laughing was never what made it good.
Yeah, this seems like someone in creative not seeing the forest for the trees.
Well, the biggest thing for me that was the sign of trouble is Matt Hardy as a performer is great. He's not doing anything wrong.
No, he's not. But the directive.
Directive's not great. And also, you know, I thought in Philadelphia they're going to love him. And they liked him.
To be fair, this was a weird Philly crowd at both the Rumble and tonight.
I thought at the Rumble they were great. Like, I thought they were... Put it this way. The crowd at the Rumble made me want to be at the Rumble, which is the compliment I would give them. But I didn't feel like it was the same crowd at Raw. I thought it was
During that bar match later on, you could literally hear a pin drop.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But do you think it's maybe because when you go and do four nights somewhere... Like, maybe a lot of people just buy NXT and pay-per-view tickets. And maybe like, other people buy Raw tickets because they're cheaper than getting a pay-per-view ticket. Like,
or it's the same people and there's just a wrestling fatigue at that point.
See, to be honest, though, I've been at four nights in a row. And see, even by night four, I mean, we did four nights in a row pretty much this last year.
Yes.
We still got our tits out when Nakamura debuted.
Yeah, oh, we definitely did. We definitely did.
So, but yeah, I felt bad for Matt, but I think, you know, when Bray was laughing on the screen, I was like, both of these guys are more talented than what they're being given. And I'm hoping that it is still a gradual thing because, you know, they are seem to tell the story of Matt kind of breaking more and more, which is good. But we need to get him, somebody needs to take Matt Hardy in a van and take him to his compound and do some weird shit.
You know what I think? I think it's time for Jeff to come back and fully pledge himself to the Woken awareness.
I'm very curious how they're going to handle Jeff's return. Very curious.
I'm hoping that he's in an alliance with his brother. That's what I'm hoping for.
Mm-hmm. So they also have new graphics for Raw, which I quite liked. It was a nice.
I enjoyed them actually. I thought they were great.
Miz cuts a promo with these selfie style promos. They don't really bother me. I don't love them. I don't hate them. They're just there. I know some people dreadfully hate them. But they don't. To be truthful, they do not. They don't make me enjoy it any more or enjoy it any less.
I think it really depends on the promo, Kenny.
I guess so. I mean, none of these ones that they did tonight felt they needed to not be in the selfie style. You know?
Yeah, the one that Cena did was dire, but we'll get to it.
You're stroking that tit, aren't you? You're like,
yeah.
Foreplay's going. So Miz is like, you know, Roman Reigns is owed a rematch. Really? Really? And he does a Tom Brady joke, which, you know, international people do not understand all the time, these American sports references. Anyway, so we get The Miz versus Roman Reigns, the Intercontinental title, the rematch. The Miz strategy end up getting involved. The match goes about 18 minutes. Slow first half, I thought. Not terribly exciting, but the second half picked up. And Miz hit a very good skull-crusher finale for a near fall near the end. Reigns hit a good Superman punch for a near fall. Then The Miz strategy really got involved. And he was taking various ones of them out, one at a time. And then there was this great bit where he punches Curtis Axel off the apron, he spears Bo Dallas, but as he spears Bo Dallas, as he stands back up, Miz is there to roll him up, grab the tights, get the win, and retain his title. So The Miz continues as the Intercontinental Champion, and I guess Roman Reigns, the redemption story has begun, David.
Yeah, this is, we're going to telegraph that, huh?
Do you want me to lie to you?
Boy. No, it's fine. It's, oh man. But hey, let's not dwell on the inevitable. Let's praise the match itself. I thought this was an excellent match.
Miz and Roman Reigns have really good chemistry together. And like, I also love the idea that like sometimes with Miz it's like, you know, can he beat Roman Reigns? And you go, oh, he's a sneaky heel who has to use the tights. That's good.
Yeah. No, it made all the sense in the world. I thought that I like the way these guys work together. They work a excellent WWE style. It's just good stuff. It's hard to be upset about it, you know.
I also
and
really
the
like
proper
the...
man won, so mm-hmm. all is well.
I also really like the story they're trying to tell of Roman Reigns lost the Intercontinental title, then lost the Rumble, and then lost the rematch. I think that's clever to have him, because he's not a guy that loses a lot. He's not a guy who doesn't put people over, but like he's not a guy who loses a lot. So when he has a little kind of streak of losing matches, it actually works quite well because he doesn't do a lot. So yeah, the angle was pretty good. Then we get the Revival coming out. They've got their match against Rhino and Heath Slater. They beat them pretty handily. Really good kind of working on the body parts by Dawson and Wilder.
Yeah, really cool shatter machine too on Rhino, pinning the hometown hero.
Yeah, and Coach had a really good line about, you know, the Revival know how to push the rules without getting disqualified. And he predicted that 2018 is going to be the year of the Revival. Then Charlie Caruso did an interview with the Revival in the ring. Dawson, I think it was, said that, you know, they just beat the first SmackDown Tag Team Champions. How do they compare to the Graham brothers? I immediately kind of chuckled and went, oh, mentioning one of Vince's favorites. Clever move. And then, you know, he's saying that, you know, the fans are too conservative chatting ECW. He said that, you know, Wilder and Dawson learn from the past, but the fans are too busy living in it. And I mean, good promo from the Revival. Nice to see them get a win. And
yeah, and a little bit of stick time. I like Dash's thing about how all the crowd wants to do is put themselves over. Made me laugh.
Also accurate.
Yeah, no, completely. The fucking beach balls, Kenny. The beach balls.
I'm not even going to give them the time of day. Finn Balor, Luke Gallows, and Karl Anderson do another selfie-style promo. They talk about Finn being in the Rumble for 57 minutes, 38 seconds. Renee Young interviews Sasha Banks at the gorilla position. I don't know why I loved that so much. Really loved that it
It was cool. It was kind of catty, too. I liked it.
Yeah, and then... you know, she comes out to face Asuka. I thought Sasha and Asuka was an excellent match. And I thought commentary nailed it. Like, there was a bit where... oh, who was it? I can't remember if it was Coach or Corey. One of them said... I mean, I'm sure it was between Coach and Corey, because Cole's always kind of steering the ship. But one of them said, you know, Sasha Banks, she went 54... No, it was Graves that said the line I'm thinking of. Coach is saying, you know, Sasha lasted 54 minutes last night, and then... Graves said, so? She didn't win. If you got to the last innings in baseball, you don't win the World Series. If you get to the bottom of the bottom of the ninth, is that a thing?
Sure, it is.
God. I know references.
Baseball. There you go.
I could not draw what these things mean if you paid me.
Sure.
The football one, you know, you get to the fourth quarter and then you don't win the Super Bowl, whatever it is. And I thought, that's fucking brilliant. I love that line because that is something that's annoying when somebody goes far in a Rumble and they're like, it's like Lex Luger winning by count out in 1993 and getting a celebration. He didn't win the title! Why is he celebrating?
Yeah, right. Exactly. This was awesome. But man, oh man, Sasha, stop doing the topes. Just stop. Stop it.
Stop it, Sasha, is the message. I feel like a
worried parent every time that she pops up on the screen. I feel like she's going to nearly die.
I do want to say this, though. I can't remember the last one, forgive me, but this is my favorite main roster WWE women's match in at least 6 months.
Oh, easily. At least.
Maybe a year.
This match was awesome. You got to watch it. Really, really a good match. Fantastic match. Match of the show.
100%,
easily, by far.
Oh yeah, 100%. And like there was the you know that tope that Sasha does, and Asuka kicks it. Oh my! It looked like she died.
Because she nearly did.
She nearly did. Man.
She landed on her fucking face, Kenny. Somebody on Twitter, I don't know who it was, but they go, Well, that only happened because she got her foot caught in the rope. I'm like, oh, so she almost died because she, but don't worry. She almost died only because she almost died.
Yeah, like, what's the problem with that?
It doesn't matter. She got her foot caught in the rope. That happens. That can happen. She could die from it. Don't justify it. She only fucked up the move because she fucked it up. It's like, no, stop it. Stop doing that.
One of my favorite things about this episode, I could gush about Asuka and Sasha for months.
That bad bump though that Asuka.
But I kind of like I know what you're saying and stop it, but those two moves to me enhanced the match. I'm not saying they should do them all the time, but they added to the kind of a Sasha felt like she had to win. She had nothing left. She had to win this match. If she doesn't win this...
I want her to walk one day, though, Kenny.
I'm not saying she should do it again. I'm just saying for the purposes of the story of the match, I thought that it enhanced the story. And then Asuka knew she had to give... It felt like Asuka went into this match, the character, going, okay, I'll beat her. And then as it went on, it was like, oh, fuck, I really need to try here. Oh, I might not win this. And it escalated. And then there was this, you know, a lot of times we pick on WWE for camera shots, but one of the best camera shots I think they've done in donkeys... ages is when Sasha Banks is lying on the mat with a tear streaming down the side of her face.
It was perfect. It was very, very good. Just a phenomenal match. Definitely watch it back. Really,
the compliment
really,
I would give it is that
really good.
That lie down the tear felt like something I would see on New Japan if I was watching a guy who'd lost the match that, like, you know, meant everything to. If I was watching, you know, Naito or something, losing to Okada. It felt like I could realistically see that tear on him or something. So I think it was a really clever angle. John Cena did a terrible selfie video where he talked about, you know, only Asuka and Nakamura know they're going to get to WrestleMania, but the rest of everybody is asking, how are we going to get there? It's not a fucking drive, you prick.
It's so funny with John Cena because Dave Meltzer went on a rant about this and I loved it. He's all like, fuck off, you're John Cena. We know you're going to be at WrestleMania. It's not like you fucking, you know, so long as you're free that day, you're on WrestleMania. You don't have to fight for it. We all know that, so don't treat us like we're idiots.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, like, if Dana Brooke came out and went, oh my God, how am I going to get to WrestleMania? I'm like, I know.
Get
crunching those numbers. But like,
you better crunch the numbers. They're not looking too fucking good right now.
Are we doing a women's? Are we doing a fabulous Moolah Memorial Battle Royal? Like, you know.
Yeah. We need that shit going now.
But they better not add one of those. Oh my God. I'm at the end of my tether. I'm at the end of my tether with the Andre the Giant one. Never mind another one.
That's gonna be that's not gonna be the piss break at Mania. That's gonna be the take a shit break, Kenny.
But the thing is,
have got to come out sometime, and it might as well be during the fucking Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
But you couldn't do it last year as the shit because Braun and Sammy were in it. So you gotta be around.
They fucking got chucked out, and then the celebrity football player that beat my fucking team came out and helped Mojo Rawley beat Jinder Mahal for it, Kenny. Never mind, I never have to watch another fucking Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal ever. That's gonna be questions on Twitter time on my phone.
Are you telling me that you couldn't get Kronk? Or is it Kronk or Gronk or Kronk? It's just a noise.
Gronk.
Gronk.
Gronk. Gronk.
What's a Gronk? Like you went out and got Gronk?
A caveman who is injured more often than fucking Samoa Joe right now.
Who Sondra told me, I didn't watch it, but Sondra said he was excellent on the pre-show for TakeOver, so... If you are a big Samoa Joe fan, go and check out him on that. So up next we get Sheamus and Cesaro against Apollo Crews and Titus O'Neil. Nice little kind of storyline they've been building up for a few weeks because Titus and Apollo got a couple of wins over Sheamus and Cesaro before they won the belts back. Sheamus and Cesaro retain the belts in about 11 minutes. Nice to see Sheamus and Cesaro get the win. But there was an Apollo Crews thing.
We're going to acknowledge it, aren't we?
I think we fucking have to. Explain to the lovely people of Inside the Ropes what happened here.
There were numerous things, so I couldn't even tell you which one you're referencing. But Apollo Crews ends up numerous times botching these spots, and there's miscommunication, and they just can't get on the same page. It was a lot like Carmella and Becky Lynch in the Women's Royal Rumble the night before.
Oh, God, Carmella. Jesus Christ.
To where they kept on trying to get on, like, the same page here, and they just couldn't. And so there's I think the one that you're referencing is going to be the Powerbomb.
Yeah,
the
Powerbomb is the one I was going to reference.
Yeah. It was supposed to be a Powerbomb, or it was supposed to be a Hurricanrana, and it ended up just being a Powerbomb.
Shades of Kelly Kelly.
Yeah, and Apollo just doesn't sell it. He just jumps up right afterwards.
Do you think he's done? Is he just kind of like, nah, I don't care anymore?
No, I don't think so. I think he got flustered, you know, and he didn't know what
to do. Flustered on Monday nights.
They blew the spot, and so he was like, well, I guess I should just go to the next spot. And it's like, no, you took the move. Now you got to sell it, honey.
Well, you also got it. I mean, you know, talk about us sitting here like we're fucking wrestlers, but we know enough about it to say that, you know, you go with what the veteran says, right? You go with that's who you work around. So
Kenny, we've both worked with Jim Cornette. What would Jim Cornette say if a wrestler did that and he was in charge?
I don't think he would be pleased.
No.
And he's not pleased most of the time, but you know.
He's not pleased by default, so I think it would be scorched hell on earth, Kenny. Yeah.
Hearing Jim Cornette tell me that he wanted the number of a training school so that they could be refunded their money is just one of my favorite things. Anyway,
I was there for that rant. It was phenomenal.
It's funny. I was at the corner of my eye. I was going. It's funny because I you know, it's the coolest thing in the world. I get to overhear a lot of stuff that I probably shouldn't get to overhear, or it's just very cool to, and I can regale it to somebody, like a friend, but it's never really quite the same unless you're there. And at one point, Cornette's doing this rant in Orlando, and I turned to David, and David was just beaming, because it felt like he'd just been taken behind the curtain for 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, it was phenomenal. And I did the same thing with Kyle, our good buddy, the Kyle Burdick. Mm-hmm. I glance over at Kyle, and Kyle's just like bewildered, and we just glance at each other like we're experiencing this right now. It was just you got to see Jim Cornette like shoot Jim Cornette, not like fucking kayfabe Jim Cornette. That's how he really is. It's just phenomenal. My mind was blown. I was just ecstatic. So yeah, imagine Jim Cornette and Apollo Crews after that spot.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, I listen, everybody makes mistakes. Trust me, I am aware of that. But
yes.
I think that you have to, if you did that, I don't, maybe it was an off night for him. You know, a one off, you can kind of forgive it. But
it just really sucks because they're starting to gain a little bit of steam. You know, I'm not saying they're going to be champions or anything like that, but they're on TV regularly every week.
I think they'll get away with it one time. I think if he does it again.
I hope so, because, like, you know, we make jokes about Apollo Crews having no personality, but he's a nice person. He's very talented. He's the type of guy that even though he's not putting it together, he very well could. I'm not the type of person to write somebody off immediately, you know?
Well, I'm not, I mean, first of all, I'm not joking. He does not seem to have any personality. Like, I'm not kidding. Right. Genuinely, I'm not seeing any of it. But that doesn't mean it's not there. Right. Maybe it is there somewhere.
Right.
But the thing is, like, I think...
The Rock didn't either at first, but
he's an example of... It's very interesting because he's an example of a guy who was so great in the indies, and he came to WWE and it's never clicked.
Yeah.
It never clicked in NXT... Because I think he
debuted... They called him up too soon in NXT. That was the issue.
But even when he was in NXT, he was just... Because when did he... I'm sure he debuted at a takeover I was at. I want to say... Maybe WrestleMania in Dallas? Or maybe the first Brooklyn takeover. But he debuted... And I remember kind of being like, oh, I remember seeing that he was in PCW and stuff before. When did he debut? Let me just check here. It was Takeover Brooklyn... In 2015, he debuted, and there just wasn't. He's a great wrestler, but there's something about he's kind of got that Bobby Lashley thing, but he has such a young face. His face is so young.
Yeah, he's got that baby face. Yeah,
and Lashley had that, and that hurt Lashley a lot as well when he had to go through that. So Yeah, I don't know what the answer is, but this was not a great night for old Apollo.
No.
Up next, though, we had another look at the Ronda Rousey thing. We saw a tweet from Alexa Bliss. We also saw a tweet earlier in the night from Paul Heyman. And it was time for the main event. We had Finn Balor coming out first. He came out with the club. And then John Cena. And John Cena, like, when he came out, he said to the camera, he was like, it's time to go to work. I need to go to WrestleMania. And the fans were chatting asshole at a beach ball person at the same time, which was quite funny, at the beginning of the match. So the match goes about 17 minutes. So you, David, I believe, have some stuff you want to say. So I'll just say what I think first and then throw it to you, if that's all right.
Sure.
So I thought this was a very good match and I enjoyed it. Now, part of the reason I enjoyed it so much is the work of one particular individual. And when I finished it, I thought that was really good. And then I saw a lot of other people saying that they didn't like it. And I watched it again. And I realised that the reason I enjoyed it more is because I've been able to tune out John Cena in my mind. Even in John Cena matches, I can tune him out. That's not a good thing. But it's something I've been able to do. And I thought Finn Balor was excellent in this match. He fought like his career depended on it. But sadly, the other side did not do the same thing. And the most offensive part of it at the end was when he went for the second rope AA, which, you know, building up to this was, you know, he goes to the coup de grace. So he hits the AA first time and Balor kicks out of it. And then he applies the... Balor goes to the coup de grace, he misses, he hurts his leg. Then Cena applies the STF, he gets to the ropes. And then... Balor kicks him in the face, Cena falls down, Balor goes for a coup de grace, Cena comes up to the top to do the middle rope AA. Now, I think that made all the sense in the world, right? An AA from the second rope, that's what it's going to take to beat this guy. But right at the end, before he hit the AA, he put his hand up and did the two sweet thing. Which immediately took you out of him being in any sort of danger, or, you know, it completely took you out of what he was doing. And then he beats Finn Balor. And then when he beat him, he didn't even sell that he beat him. He was just like, oh, I needed to get to WrestleMania. Sorry. That's the way it goes. So he was really problematic in this match. I think he's definitely building up to his match with Undertaker from the looks of this. But yeah, I thought he was really problematic. But I'm going to throw it over to you, David.
We got to discuss this John Cena problem, Kenny. This is, it's been going on for a long time now.
You sound exactly like Trump. We got to discuss this Obama problem.
he is a deplorable and we got to throw him out of this country. Yeah, Kenny, I have the biggest set of balls and I'm going to pick him up and I'm going to throw him out. You'll never hear from him again, Kenny. Yeah. So yeah, John Cena is a hindrance now on the WWE creative process. He's no longer beneficial. Whenever he loses to someone, it doesn't ultimately matter. I feel because of how lackadaisically he carries himself in the ring, that if he wins, it's like the win that he picked up tonight, where it's like, ah, well, I guess I won. And if he loses, ah, well, I guess I lost. He has no passion and no drive. It's like looking at someone who's been in a 25-year marriage and they just have utter disdain for each other and they just have to put on like a brave face in public. That way no one understands it. So there's just zero passion one way or the other that they portray. There's no love. There's no hatred. There's just existence. And in this competitive environment, with the amount of talent, the most talent that they've ever had in the history of the WWE, we have no room for existence. There's no room for mere existence. Because whenever he loses, it doesn't elevate a single person. And whenever he wins, it doesn't do anything for his trajectory and his career and his path right now. Because he comes out and he's a goddamn motherfucking clown on television, Kenny. That's all he is. He is a mime for our enjoyment. Oh, wait a minute. Did I say mime? No, he's not a fucking mime because he's on a goddamn megaphone every time he's in the fucking ring. Like whenever he was in the Royal Rumble, screaming, now, Shinsuke, now. There's a fucking GIF on the internet of it, Kenny, and you can hear him through the fucking GIF, and GIFs don't have sound. Kenny, this is an issue here, and this needs to be addressed immediately, because whenever John Cena is on, he is a very valuable person.
Is that the problem? Is that if he was just dog shit, right? You could kind of get over it, probably even laugh at it, but it's almost like the Stephanie thing, where you kind of go, the reason that the Stephanie thing is so frustrating is she's such a good heel, but nobody gets the comeuppance on her. So the frustration comes from, there's potential there, but you're not seeing any of it. And with Cena, it's even worse because you've seen 100 times that when he's on, he's great. But when he's not on, it's just like...
He's on autopilot right now.
Yeah, and because he was on the Edge and Christian podcast about 4 months ago, whenever it was. And I remember being quite keen to listen to it, because I was like, I want to hear what he thinks. And he was kind of saying that whenever criticism of him came, he said, you know, I'm all about the story. And I go, are you though? Because you don't really seem to be doing much in the story front. Nope. And it's funny to me that, like, to be brutally honest, anyone who complained about how The Rock was when he's come back, he seems far more interested than Cena does.
Oh, more invested in the story, more invested in the characters. What really pissed me off and why I hated this match, Kenny, I didn't think this was a good match at all. I thought this was one of the worst matches that I've ever seen. And it had nothing to do with the quality of the wrestling inside of it. It had to do with someone actively laughing at me while they're in there supposedly performing, pointing the beach balls, taking fucking test of strength breaks, which made no sense. John Cena's jacked to the gills. How would he even be in a fucking test of strength for 5 minutes with Finn Balor? No offense to Finn whatsoever. And the contrast, Finn Balor cared so much. I don't even care that Finn lost. I care about that he lost to a fucking clown. And that's what bothers me, the contrast. Finn Balor cared so much to win and was busting out everything that he had, and Cena involved himself 0% throughout this entire thing. And the contrast, it was a joke. It reminded me of whenever Shawn Michaels sold for Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam, and he was bouncing all around the ring and making a fucking mockery of it. It reminded me of whenever Vince Russo would come down and made Jeff Jarrett lie down in the ring for Hulk Hogan to pin him. Brother, it's a joke. It laughs at me as a wrestling fan, and I don't like being mocked as a wrestling fan. We get enough shit from people who aren't wrestling fans mocking us. We don't need the goddamn performers in the motherfucking ring to laugh at us too. Take us seriously and we'll take you seriously, motherfucker.
It's hard to argue with any of that. And what I will say from my point of view is part of the reason I choose to sort of champion this match is in no way for John Cena, but Finn Balor's in this weird place where he's getting some opportunities, and I think if he keeps getting them, he will be able to run with them. And it's all about Vince. Absolutely. And it's all about Vince McMahon getting seen. So to me, you know, if you want to put your praise in Finn Balor, tweet out about, you know, Finn Balor was tremendous in that match.
He was. He absolutely was.
And make sure to praise Finn Balor. You can praise Finn Balor without praising John Cena. And I thought that I tweeted out, I thought there was drama to the match because of Finn Balor. And people were kind of, you say, oh, no, there wasn't any. And it's like, you can't tell me my opinion. Like, you can tell me you didn't find any drama. But
I will offer a scenario for you, though, mm-hmm. Kenny. Let's say you like going to Broadway, right? You like going and seeing a musical or a stage play, right?
Sure.
Okay. Imagine that there is a dialogue between two characters on stage, and the one character comes out, and it's Daniel Day-Lewis, right? That's who's portraying this character, and he comes out, and he's been starving himself for weeks to appear malnutrition for this role, and he's on his deathbed, and tears are streaming down from his eyes as he gives the final monologue to the audience. And his wife is portrayed by someone else. I don't know. Let's say Lindsay Lohan. Okay. and Lindsay Lohan is sitting there with her legs crossed and her phone out, and she's going through the phone. And as Daniel Day-Lewis slowly croaks away and tears streaming down his face and the audience is crying, she goes, uh-huh, and then starts blowing bubbles in her bubble gum that's in her mouth, and she's tweeting away, and she's taking selfies to post on Instagram, and then she turns to the audience and goes, this is all fake, you know that, right?
So let me get this straight. So you're saying that Finn Balor is Lindsay Lohan, and you're saying that John Cena is Daniel Day-Lewis. Got it. I couldn't agree more. Can I actually make one point? Everything that you've said is pretty much insanely valid, so me going over it would just not be as good. But what I will say is, I am officially a fan of Roman Reigns. Officially.
Absolutely.
Because every single thing that we've complained about with John Cena, we do not get from Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns lost at WrestleMania because we would be happier. He has lost championships because the reception wasn't right. He has dealt with all of the fan reaction to him, and he has embraced it, but not in a way that makes you silly. When he beat The Undertaker and he came out the next night, he was content enough to come out and say, it's my yard now, and let us boo him. He doesn't come out and do stupid shit like turning his foot and going, oh, look, I'm turning heel now. Wink, wink, wink. He doesn't do any of the stupid shit like that. He delivers in the ring. His shit looks good. It amazes me that shoulder block that Cena does is still allowed to happen. But John Cena is sometimes so frustrating as a character that Steve Austin asked him to do a move better. And he was the world champion. Can you imagine that somebody had to tell Steve Austin when he was on top, oh, you need to learn how to do that submission hold? You should know! And the fact that you think it's a joke that you don't know makes it worse. But yes. Roman Reigns, from day one, has got better and better and better. I look forward to Roman Reigns matches. I'm looking
because
forward.
Because they're good. They're filled with drama. You're not going to be laughed at. You're not going to get a wink from the performer to the camera breaking the fourth wall.
No, and it's not, like, you know, the biggest issues with Roman Reigns, you know, the match with Triple H and the match with Undertaker, whatever. But if you go on either side of those, he was having good matches before and after all that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm cashing in my C Nation headband or whatever, and I've taken a vest.
In all the time that I've been watching, which has been since 2011, Roman Reigns is infinitely better as a character than John Cena is, and he has just as much drama as John has, and I honestly think at this point he's a much better wrestler.
And just to put it in perspective, if you were to take it into age, Roman Reigns now is the age that John Cena was in 2008. So to me, you know, Roman Reigns just keeps getting better. But my hope, though, is that as much as all this stuff's been happening, John Cena has turned a corner once before. He was poor for a while, and then he got the US title. And he really stepped up for a while. I think that he deserves credit for the ascension of AJ Styles in WWE. I think he does deserve credit for that.
Yeah, so, that was his lasting contribution, I guess, as a final contribution. Because I don't think at this point that he can actually come back and have me, a simple wrestling fan, take him seriously.
I mean, I hope that you're wrong, but I can't. The thing is, I think if he is able to, but the good thing, and you said this before, no, you did. Finn said this. Finn Martin said this. I don't know if anybody's watched the WWE 24 special on the network yet, but really, really good stuff. And The Undertaker's in it, and he talks at length. It's very interesting.
And we are going to watch it later this evening.
And I'm not really spoiling anything, but there's a great scene where Undertaker's sitting in the car, and he says something like, you know, you always worry that, you know, you're the guy that you're the old guy that fights, and then one day you can't fight anymore, or whatever it was, some sort of, you know, joke at his own expense. And,
sure.
And when I spoke to Finn Martin about the idea of doing John Cena and Undertaker, I thought he was going to shit all over it, and he seemed happy. I said, what? Why? I was confused. And he said, because do you know the one person John Cena can't pull his shit with? The Undertaker.
Good point.
And he said, do you think for a fucking heartbeat that John Cena will be allowed to get away with any of this stuff with him? Nope. So John Cena is going to have to step up, because if he doesn't, Undertaker might be 51, and he might not have as much hair at the front of his head as he used to, and he might not be able to walk as well as he used to, but I'm sure he can still take a guy in a room and explain to him how he needs to do things.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah. He will set him straight. There's no doubt.
So I'm looking forward to Cena Undertaker just to see how much Undertaker gets Cena into command WrestleMania. So that maybe is the best, you know, maybe, although people might not want to see it, maybe that's actually the best option for Cena at WrestleMania, because if it wasn't Undertaker, would we just have to deal with more of this?
Yeah.
So I guess we'll
see. Dire.
Dire. Okay, so I guess overall, what would your rating be for this episode of Monday Night Raw?
I thought this was a stinker of an episode, Kenny. I was not a fan of it. The only real true saving grace beyond everything else was that Asuka and Sasha Banks match. I would give this a 5.5 out of 10.
Wow.
And that match singularly raised this Raw by 2 full points.
There you go. I actually thought it was a pretty good episode. I'm going to disagree with you. I thought the opening segment was really good with Sasha. I think there's lots of good things about this episode. I understand that the last thing probably just killed your soul for it. But I thought the opening segment was good with Asuka and Sasha. I thought Braun destroying Kane and everything else was great. Miz and Reigns had a really fun match. The Revival getting a little bit of mic time. The Asuka and Sasha match, which was sensational. And then there were parts of the main event that I enjoyed. So, for me, I thought it was good, and I would give this a... If it wasn't for the second watch and me having to think about the Cena thing, I would have probably given it an 8. But I'm going to mark it down a point because of Cena and give it a 7. So that's my...
That's understandable. That is definitely understandable. I did ask the community for a few questions on Twitter using the hashtag RawRundown. And so I'm going to rapid fire some of these. Some of these are fun. Some of them are Raw related. Some of them are life related, Kenny. Are you ready? Are you ready?
So 5 questions, right?
All right. We can do 5. We can do 5.
I know. How many did you want to do? I'm just asking because I'm
going to
count.
I was just going to run some off. I don't really have a list.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Ollie at Duck Bear says, what has more air, John Cena's STF or a beach ball?
A beach ball.
Depends on how big the beach ball is. That's my answer. Dan Bennett at...
Wait. But you actually know for a fact, if John Cena was a wrestling fan, he would love the beach balls. Love them.
Oh, he would... He'd be the one to bring him in. He would smuggle him in, Kenny. In his pants, probably, and fucking expose his dick or something accidentally. Not apologize for it.
What did Dan Bennett have to say?
Dan Bennett at Dan Bennett _ will 2018 be
wait,
the
wait,
year?
Wait, I'm so glad that you clarified what Dan Bennett's handle was there. Dan Bennett at Dan Bennett.
Dan Bennett _, thank you. There is an _ after a Kenny. Jesus.
Clearly,
Christ.
Clearly someone had taken Dan Bennett and he's not happy about it. So he's underscoring the fact that he's Dan Bennett.
He's not going to be Dan Bennett 1.
And he's not going to be Daniel, but he's not going to be Sunday shamed on Twitter.
Right. Or Danny, he's not that...
Yeah, he's not in fucking Greece, is he? No.
Will 2018 be the year of the revival?
No, it will not.
I
think if they go to SmackDown the shake-up, then yes. If not, I think it's just that Raw is not as tag-team friendly. Raw's tag-team friendly. Here's my thing. I think that if Sheamus and Cesaro weren't around, the revival would be in that spot. But I think the fact there's two big... The fact that Sheamus and Cesaro are such a great heel tag team hurts the revival.
Yeah, I think that is true. Who knows how much longer Sheamus has, though, you know? He's got that rough injury, so I don't know, man. Time will tell, I guess. But Steven at Tobatelli! There's a bunch of I's at the end of that, so I had to go ahead and do it exactly like that.
You did an excellent job.
Yeah, thank you. He wants to know who's going to fill out the remainder of the chamber, Kenny.
It's going to be Roman, and then I actually think, for whatever reason, that Balor's somehow going to get in.
Really?
Yeah, I have a feeling, because I was looking at the roster, I'm going, I think Seth might get in it.
Yeah.
But then maybe they put Seth and Jordan. I think it'll be Roman... Roman, Seth, and then I think the sixth spot will either be Jordan or Balor. How about you? Who do you think will be the remaining three?
I'm going to agree with Steven, who said Roman, Seth, and Jordan. So, yeah.
That's the safe bet. I'm just saying, Jordan's got that injury. You know, and I think
he does. That is the wild card with
I
it.
I feel but... bad for Jordan because that injury could cost him some real momentum because we need to be turning on Daddy soon.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, ooh boy, man, it's gonna be very sad if he ends up missing out on that. So, at the Matt D wants to know, does pineapple belong on a pizza?
Oh, absolutely not. I think it's the biggest abomination after John Cena's STF. Name me any other cold piece of fruit that you put on a fucking pizza. And don't say tomato, because some pedantic people have that battle. I'm not having it. But no, I think pineapple can get fucked. The only thing you should have a pineapple on is when it's in a fucking cocktail. And it's a flavor. What about you?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Pineapple is my favorite fruit. Absolutely. Put it on a pizza. Oh, put it on there with some jalapenos. Some ham, for example. That would work. Pepperoni works.
Of course ham would work. The pineapple's on the Hawaiian.
And the sweet together. So good. A Hawaiian pizza. Fantastic. You put a little
provolone
cheese on there. So good, you guys. Go out and get some pineapple on a pizza. Go to the fucking grocery store and grab an entire pineapple and just plop it on a pizza. But Kenny, I will say the grossest pizza I've ever had pineapple on it, and it was entire chunks of pineapple, like the entire half.
Good. You should all be punished for liking bad things. Next question.
Kenny, you're so angry. At Calum Teeter, that would be Teeternator on Twitter. That's a great one.
Oh, that American accent. Have you ever noticed that American accents can murder a name? Like,
yes.
Just kill it in cold blood.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. My good friend Calum loves me. Oh, okay?
Not your friend Craig.
Well, yeah, Craig's a great name.
It's not a name. Craig is not a name. There's no name that says C-R-E-G. There's Craig. Craig.
That's what I said, Craig.
You said Craig. What is Craig? Well, who is it? No, so it's Callum. What does Callum have to say?
Callum says, where does Matt Hardy go from here in terms of the Mania card?
I think he has... I think that they have about another month of creative to get it heated up.
Yeah.
And if they do, I think it's Mania worthy with him and Wyatt in some sort of crazy match, but there's a lot of work to do and it really needs to be kicking off next week, I think. But if not... but then it also depends if Jeff comes back. If Jeff comes back, do they maybe end up in a multi-tag thing where they're the Broken Hardys? I think Matt will definitely be on the card.
I think it's
dependent either the angle getting bigger to whether if it's a singles or if Jeff's back, if it's a tag match. What do you think?
I see them as the Broken Hardys and a tag match, and in all honesty, I could see them winning the tag titles with it. So yeah, I'm optimistic, I guess you could say. Anthony Fitzpatrick at AJF_1991.
We'll make him the last question.
Okay, we can
or
do
last
that.
Questions, because I think he was the one to put like four questions.
I'm going to only ask one of his questions, and I think it's an interesting conversation. Do you think they are making Braun a one-dimensional character who just lifts and breaks things?
That's a very interesting point, because I was actually thinking earlier on, but the only thing I think that holds him back from being in that mixed tag is maybe he's too funny now. Like, maybe the stuff he does, which is so funny, even though he's menacing, like, does that work in a sort of, you know, we're going to be doing mainstream sports interviews? But then, you know, this is the guy who, you know, on the red carpet for the 2K thing at SummerSlam was saying that he wants a sponsorship deal with Braun, the Razor Company. So maybe he could pull it off. I don't think he's one dimensional. I think that if he was not doing what he's doing right now, he would be nowhere near the star that he is. I think he's capitalized on... It's like Steve Austin. Steve Austin, if you go back and watch, never used to be all about beers and middle fingers. That was like his calling card eventually. But initially, it was enragement that he was being duped by the system and not taken seriously. So with Braun, I think he's just finding what his middle finger and beer could be.
And beyond that, it's not like Austin didn't do a lot of comedic stuff, too. Some of the most funny stuff that's ever happened in WWE was due to Steve Austin. So
paging Dr. Yeah. Austin.
Yeah, 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 for sure. Last question, Dawson, Ben Dawes, at Dawes21.
Who loved his intro last week when you didn't know his name was Ben and just called him Dawson21?
Yeah, well, yeah. Hey, you know, I work with what you give me, Kenny. This is a great question, though. Okay. My good, close, personal friend, Dawes, the big Dawes, it's his yard now. Would you rather fuck a goat and nobody know, or not fuck a goat but everyone thinks you did?
I mean, first of all, he works in a call center, and that is a call center question. I've heard it before. You've stolen banter, Ben, and delivered it to us. But that is one of the most hard questions ever, because you're like, I would probably have to fuck the goat with no one look, because I couldn't. You just can't recover in your life if people think you fucked a goat and you can't. You'd lose your mind by the end of it, because you just, nobody's ever going to believe you. I can't run shows and do podcasts and I'm just going, so Kenny, what was her name? You know, I can't do it. It's not going to work.
Kenny the goat fucker.
Kenny the goat fucker. That'd be a t-shirt, and I wouldn't even be the one that made it. Somebody else would make it.
You wouldn't even get any money off of it. It would be like your previous employment opportunities.
I don't know what kind of culture you're referring to here. I'm going to just remain defiant about that. Wait a second. So, oh no, sorry. I thought I smelled a distinct waft of shite there, but I don't. It's fine.
you're on a roll here, aren't you?
Unlike them. Everything's fine. 12 employees left in 1 year, whatever.
For me, I would not fuck the goat, because I have integrity as a human being. And you could all point and go, oh, you fuck goats, blah, blah, blah. I don't care what you people think. I care what I think.
But wouldn't the problem be Val would think you'd fucked a goat?
She would know I already fuck goats. What's... she knows my proclivities. Come on now. Been together for 18 years and you think we don't know that kind of shit? Jesus.
So, yeah. Who would you like to play us out then with a song?
Are we talking wrestling songs?
If you would rather not do a wrestling song, because I know that you tried to avoid them, then we can do a non-one if you want. But the only preface is I have to at least know what it is. So you can't be giving me any of your fucking indie picks.
What about Head Over Heels by Tears for Fears, Kenny?
It's borderline. I've not heard the song, but I've heard the band, so I'll give you it.
Okay. It's a belter. Enjoy it, guys.
So it's Tears for Fears singing Head Over Heels.
You got it.
Okay, and also, before we head over to Tears for Fears, would you like to give us your Twitter handle to see if people want to communicate with you on the internet?
Yeah, come over and tell me how much you hate Ronda Rousey, blah, 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 at Zoopsul, ZOOPSOUL, and I will tell you that she's going to make more money in one day in WWE than any of us will see in our lives.
It's funny because somebody actually had mentioned to, somebody had mentioned about WrestleMania 34, I think, to Meltzer, and said, you know, it'd be a bad idea for her to go over any major WWE superstar at WrestleMania 34, and it's like, she's a regular now, like... She's going to beat people.
She's a full-time person, and she was the baddest woman on the planet for like 3 years.
Badass, man. Yeah, she is. I do just want to say also, I don't believe she's full-time, and I don't think she should.
I mean, that's all we have to go on now.
You know, I think she is now going, her main job is going to be WWE, but I think she was on a Brock Lesnar kind of deal, and she should be.
Because, I think she'll appear more than Brock Lesnar, but not a whole lot more.
I think she would be at her maximum if she did 5 pay-per-views a year or 6 rather than 12.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would agree with that. She doesn't need to be on every pay-per-view, but she needs to be on more than Brock Lesnar is.
So with that said, you can get me at KennyMC1985 and @Inside_TheRopes. Remember, for Friday, InsideTheRopes.co.uk, Chris Jericho tickets, Glasgow May 21st, Manchester May 22nd, and London on May 23rd. We will be there for the words of Jericho. Hear Them, Man. Whatever it's called. Anyway, so, thanks for listening. Here's Tears and Fears. We'll be back next week. John Cena's good to there. David will be annoyed. See you then.
Goodbye!